You might like to take out your Bibles again or your sermon outline. As we look at this verses today in Luke chapter 14, I encourage you, if you want to read on, we'll be doing a bit more of Luke chapter 14 next week as well. I wonder who here, and I probably expect everyone to put their hands up, who here likes to receive invitations to parties or big events? Probably most of us like to do that. I like receiving invitations, and yeah, you get those invitations and then you think, yeah, this will be a really good time to go to it. But sometimes you get invitations and your reaction is not like that. Your reaction is, I don't really want to go for this. And you start thinking of excuses, so you don't have to go to it. And I wonder if you've ever received an invitation that you've made up an excuse so you didn't have to go. Maybe again, most of us probably have. I know as a child, I had a ready-made excuse. You probably can all guess what it was. As soon as I was asked to go to something and I didn't want to go, my immediate response was, without even talking to them, my parents won't let me. I was reminded of that a number of years ago when one of my own children came to me when they received an invitation and said, "Dad, can I use you as an excuse? I don't want to go." Maybe we've done that. I wonder what other excuses at times maybe we've made so we don't have to accept invitations. So there are good invitations. There are invitations that we're happy to miss. But have you ever received an invitation that is the greatest invitation ever? Have you ever received an invitation to something that you would automatically clear your diaries for? This is something you would not want to miss. What would it be for you? Would it be a sporting event? Would it be meeting a famous person? Would it be going to a concert or meeting a singer or doing something else? For you, what is the greatest invitation that someone could possibly give you? What would it be? What would be the invitation that you would clear your diaries to make sure you didn't miss it? Well, with that thought in mind, and you may have actually thought of what I'm about to talk about, I want today to talk about an invitation that's possibly better than what you even thought about. And it's not just better, it's not just too good to refuse, but the title of today's message on the front of your outline, I want to suggest that this invitation is too dangerous to refuse. So today, if it is dangerous, well, we need to understand what the invitation is. And we need to understand, do we actually need to respond? Or how do we respond? And we heard about the invitation in the Bible reading earlier. You might have caught up a little bit so far, and a couple more songs after the message, what we've been singing about today. We've been singing about this invitation. Well, what is this invitation? Well, to understand what's going on here in this parable, we need to understand a little bit about Middle Eastern culture. And when you have an event on, whether it's a wedding or a banquet or whatever it might be, you sent out two invitations. The first was sent out to say, this is when the event is on. You are expected to come. And pretty much when you received the invitation, everyone said, yep, right, we're coming. The second invitation, or if you're a wealthy person like the person in this story, you would then send out on the day when everything was ready for the wedding or the banquet or whatever it might be, you sent out your servant or the second invitation that says, it's on now, come now. You would expect, as soon as you hear that and receive that, you've already told them you're coming, you just pack up and go straight to whatever the event was. That's what we have here. See, the certain man in verse 16, he's already invited the people. They know that this is the moment the banquet is going to be on. The banquet is prepared. He sends out the second invite. He sends out his servant. Tell them it's on. Come now. Okay, that's the setting for our banquet. Now, the significance here isn't really about or just about a host of a banquet being jilted by the people. They said they were going to come, but don't. There's a much deeper meaning. See, from verses 14 and 15 that led into the parable, we've been talking about the resurrection of the righteous. We've been talking about the banquet. And it's all been talking about heaven. So when we read the parable here, the certain man preparing the banquet, it's God. And the invitations that go out are the invitations that God sends out, inviting people to come to the heavenly banquet. The question in Jesus' parable to the people listening was, how would they respond? The question for us all these years later hasn't changed. How will we respond? Will we accept the invitation? Or do we make excuses? Because we get to see here, Jesus begins by three people who have excuses. Excuses not to come to the banquet. Excuses not to follow God. Excuses not to put God first and come to his party. But when you look at these excuses, and I heard a definition of an excuse this way during the week. It said, a definition of an excuse is the origin of every excuse is a failure to do something. And when you think about that, it's true, isn't it? And in here, this is what we have. The invite had gone out from God. I'm inviting you to my heavenly banquet. Come. Their response, we don't want to, God. We've got other things to do in life. You're not our priority. So they fail to follow God. Look at their excuses. I bought a field. Now I'm going to go see it. I mean, think about it today. Would you just see a worded thing on the internet that said 3-bedroom house, this is the price, and you go, buy? No. You'd want to see it. You want to know everything about it beforehand. This is a silly excuse. No one would do this. I bought a field. Now I'm going to see it. No. What about the next guy? I bought 5 oxen. I'm going to go try them out. How many of you, if someone just called you up in the middle of the night and said, I'll sell you my car, would you buy it? No. But that's what he's saying here. Someone called me up in the middle of the night, said I had 5 oxen. I said, yes, I'll buy them. Now I'm going to go find them. It's silly. They're excuses. Now, the third guy maybe looks like he's got a valid excuse here. Because in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 24, verse 5, it says that when you are married, for your first year of marriage, all the normal things you would do as a community, like whether you had to serve in the army or do certain things, you don't have to do for the first 12 months that you're married. So this guy says here, oh yeah, I'm married. That's my excuse. But it's still an excuse. Why? Because he is, remember, when the servant comes to him, that's the second invitation. This guy already knew when the banquet was on. He already said he was coming. If he was serious about going to the banquet, there is no way he would have then chosen to be married at the same time. It's an excuse. The whole problem with these three excuses is that they didn't want to put God first. They didn't really want to listen to God at all. He was not a priority for them. They didn't want to respond to God's banquet. Now, I wonder, when we think of the big picture here, what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about, with the banquet, about heaven and being with God for eternity and people's response to that. For us today, we would say this side of the cross, it's responding to Jesus' death and resurrection, understanding that he took out the punishment we deserve on himself and responding to that. You know, that would be going to the banquet. That would be looking forward to going to be with God for eternity. That's the big picture here. But these people didn't want to go. These people had these excuses that, you know, God, you're not our priority at the moment. Other things are. My land, my oxen, my relationships. I wonder if we've ever made excuses. Now, I wonder if any of us sitting here today doesn't follow God. We don't put him as a number one priority. We haven't responded or acknowledged to Jesus and what he did for us at the cross. I wonder if we're making excuses not to do that. Now, I've heard some excuses throughout the years where people have said, oh, I'm too busy to respond to God at the moment. Busy at school, busy at work, busy at home, whatever it might be. I just don't have the time. Oh, if I have time, I'll get to it later. Excuse. Or the excuse I remembered saying when I was younger. None of my friends follow God. Why do I have to do it now? Or I've got my whole life ahead of me. I can think about it later on. I wonder if you've ever heard of people make those excuses. Or another excuse I sometimes hear from people is that, yeah, I'm okay with God. I think, yeah, this is, to me, this is very much the Australian view. The Australian view is, it'll be all right, mate. I'll be okay with God. Yeah, God loves all people. Therefore, you know, I haven't done any really bad things in life. Therefore, God's just going to welcome me. I'm okay with God. Maybe you've heard that excuse. Or maybe you've heard the excuse of, my parents followed God. Isn't that good enough? Or, you know, I've sat in church for years, even put money in the offering plate occasionally. Sometimes maybe served at morning tea. What do you mean I actually have to follow Jesus? Isn't that enough, coming to church? I wonder if you've ever heard that excuse. Maybe a more important question. Have you ever made those excuses? Are you still making that excuse today? See, if you haven't responded to God's invitation to join his banquet, if you've never responded to Jesus, I wonder what's stopping you. What is your excuse today? Now, sometimes we might think, I don't make excuses. But if you haven't responded, there's got to be something there that's stopping you. So reflect on what it might be. See, in about a month's time, we're going to celebrate Easter. We're going to remind ourselves of the invitation Jesus gives. Later after the message, we're celebrating communion together in symbol form, the broken bread and the grape juice. In imagery and in symbols reminds us of the invitation that Jesus gives. I wonder how you've responded to it. This invitation is important. So important. It's even too dangerous to refuse. Look as the parable continues. Because the parable doesn't finish with the excuses. Jesus says that the invitation goes out to other people. Immediately he says, go out to the local area, ask the people in the town, come, there's room. Come to my banquet. And people come. And the servant comes back and says, I've done that. What now? There's still room. And the master in verse 23 says, go out to the roads, the country, the lanes, compel them to come in so that my house will be full. Yeah, I love this picture. And if it rings any bells for you, you probably know it from Luke's other letter, the book of Acts. Because remember early in Acts chapter 1, he talks about the gospel message going out from Jerusalem to Judea to the rest of the world. That's the picture that we have here in this parable. God wants people to come. He wants people to come to his banquet. He wants people to come to heaven. You know, later in the New Testament, it describes it as God is patiently waiting for people to come. But one day his patience will run out. You know, the picture here of that going out, calling people to come in, you know, the message is going out. The message is still going out today. We can respond to the invitation. We also see here that the significance for us is that this invitation is for all people. Did you get that? He invited certain people initially. He then goes out to the sick and to the lame, to those who are close by where the banquet was being held. And then it goes out to the world. Anyone and everyone, doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter about the color of your skin. Nothing matters. The invitation is for everyone. And I think also the reminder here too, for many of us in this room, we would say we've answered this invitation. We follow Jesus. Well, I think the reminder too here in this parable as the message goes out is that the servant had to take the message out. In a sense, we are that servant still today to take that message out. How well do we do that? I don't know how well you might know the life of the playwright Oscar Wilde. He did some pretty strange, almost evil things in his life, and he spent a fair bit of time in prison as well. And it was interesting, when he spent time in prison, he wrote a letter where he said that he'd heard about this invitation from God, that he should turn and follow Jesus. And he thought about that and said, "I can't do it." And he was asked why. Why couldn't you accept God's invitation? And his answer was, because I'm too afraid. I've done too many bad things in my life that I'll stand before the pearly gates of heaven and God will say, "Oscar, not you." He got it wrong though, didn't he? He misunderstood God. He misunderstood the invitation. And if you feel that you haven't responded to God's invitation, but that's you, if you feel that you've done so many wrong things in your life, that how could God love you or how could God accept you into his family? I want you to clearly hear that no one is too bad for God, that God's love and grace and mercy covers all. We just need to respond to the invitation. See, the invitation, when you get to the final verse in verse 24, it's too dangerous to ignore. Look at verse 24. "I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet." The people in this story that made excuses, they couldn't go to the banquet. Now, if it was just a dinner party, big deal. But remember what Jesus is talking about here? Remember the big picture? This is about getting to heaven. This is about being with God for eternity. If you miss that party, that is why it's too dangerous to refuse. Now, when Jesus told this parable, it would have rung some bells with those listening. Because the first group of people that made the excuses, do you know who they were? They were the Jews. They were the ones that God had already issued invitations to over and over, and they made the choice that God wasn't their priority. And so they missed out at this point. But then we get the picture here that the message of salvation goes out to the Gentiles and to the rest of the world. And when you hear this parable, you can't help but just say, "Thank you, God, because I am here because of this. I am here because the gospel did go out to the rest of the world." See, when you think about an invitation, invitations require responses. This is God's invitation to you. Will you respond, follow him, love him, put him first, be welcomed into his family and spend eternity with him? Or will you say no? Now, it might be, like I said, as I was growing up, I'd say, "I'll get to it later." But do you realize from when you come to an invitation, there's only two responses, yay or nay. And if you're going to take time, that's still nay until you say yes. The time to think about this is now. The person concerned is you, because we don't know how much time we have on earth. Only you really know, between you and God, what your relationship with him is like. The issue at hand is, will you receive his invitation or not? What choice will you make? And if you've already made the choice, as most of you in this room have, to love and follow him, is it a priority for you to keep living for God? Is it a priority for you to see this message that needs to go out to the world, a message that's too dangerous to refuse, because you've responded to it? Will you share it with others? Because they get to hear it from us. A message that's too dangerous to refuse. Thankful that we've accepted it, but will we share it with others? An invitation from God. How have you responded? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you for Jesus and what he did at the cross. When we were your enemies, you gave us the one and only option to be a part of your family again. He took the judgment of our sin upon him, died horribly on that cross, and then was raised to life 3 days later, conquering sin, conquering death, and opening the invitation to all. Lord, we remember that great picture of the curtain in the temple being torn in two, opening up to everyone to have access to the Holy of Holies. Lord, when we hear this parable, the message that's gone out to the world, we are so thankful for that because that has brought us here today. Lord, let us never take it for granted, but let us be willing to serve you and those around us by sharing it with others. So, Father, maybe this week, open our eyes and give us the words to who we can talk to and what we can say. In your name we pray. Amen.